Hello and welcome to the Gab and Jules show. I'm Jules. Gab isn't here. He's on holidays in Scotland somewhere. So Stuart Robson is with us again today.
Good morning to you and I'm pleased to be here.
Thank you for being here. And we also have Cidlo in Barcelona in Spain because that's the only way
Absolutely.
We have to go, Stu, because obviously everything that's happening with Messi, with Barcelona. Cid, let's start straight away with Bartomeu because I think that's the very interesting part of it as well. One, if Bartomeu does resign, and clearly he seems to be one of the issues that Messi is having with the club right now, could that mean that Messi could stay? Could that change a bit what Messi wants to do? And secondly, why is he still there anyway? Why is he still hanging up to the job?
Well, look, both of those questions actually have relatively simple answers. Now, of course, the complexities of the situation means it's not quite as clear cut as that. But the relatively simple version of the two answers there is that Bartomeu is a big reason for this situation in terms of the context to it and in terms of the causes of reaching this point. But he's no longer a solution insofar as his removal would remedy this. It's gone beyond him now. And to give you the public expression of that, Victor Font, who's the key opposition candidate when presidential elections come around next year, he told Spanish radio, I think last night it was, or the night before, he said that he'd spoken to Messi's camp. And he said that while the only chance of Messi, possibly even the remotest tiny chance of Messi changing his mind, depended on Bartomeu being forced out, he said, Messi's camp tells me, and bear in mind that as a politician, he could have been far more cynical and said, and used this. He said, Messi's camp tell me that the decision is made anyway. So it's gone beyond whether or not Bartomeu is there. Now, had Bartomeu gone a month ago, certainly 6 months ago, certainly a year ago or 2 years ago, we may never have reached this point. But once we've reached this point, there isn't really a way to turn back. Now, even if the legal battle means that Messi is forced to stay, if you like, that kind of point of broken, that sort of sense of being broken now, that cannot be fixed. In terms of why is Bartomeu still there? Well, because really and truly, he has nothing to gain by resigning. Now, the only thing he can really gain by resigning maybe is a little bit of face, maybe is a little bit of, if you like, sort of dignity or a sense that you know, he fell on his sword at the right time. But he would argue that walking out now, leaving this sinking ship, would be the wrong thing to do. More importantly, if you try and leave to save face, to try and protect yourself, to try and not look so bad, well, yeah, okay. But he too is beyond that point now. No one's ever going to forgive him for this anyway now. So in other words, leaving doesn't help. And the one thing that he gains by staying is something far more tangible. He gains the chance to use this transfer window and the January transfer window before his presidency comes to an end. Why does he need to do that? Because Barcelona are in massive financial trouble. If at the end of his administration, the end of his time in charge at Barcelona, the financial targets are not met, then he and his board would be personally liable for the shortfall. In other words, this has a massive tangible economic impact potentially on him and his board members.
So he would have to pay with his own money if the club is in debt.
Exactly. It could cost him an awful lot of money. So what is Bartomeu's target now, given that all the other things are broken? Now, I'm not going to claim that he doesn't care about those other things, but right now there's something far more important. And that effectively is protecting himself and his board members. So essentially what Bartomeu has got now is 9 or 10 months before the next elections, which can happen any time after March, to try and clean this mess up, to try and find a way around this now, so that when the new regime comes in, when they look at the figures, they're not in a position where they can begin what's known as a responsibility action against this board of directors.
You know how much I dislike Bartomeu, and I've mentioned it a lot on the FC show. I think he's destroyed the club. Neymar left when he was the president. He hired Valverde. Now Messi could leave under him as well. Is this the worst presidency that we've seen in Barcelona history? Because that would hurt far more than, I don't know, other players leaving in the past and other situations where the club had been struggling before. But this is unprecedented, right?
I'm going to steal someone's joke here, and apologies because I don't know whose joke it was. It's a classic thing that you see a nice line on Twitter and you take it as your own. and you know, the joke with many a true word said in jest and all that. And I saw someone mention the other day, it said, José María Bartomeu is the best president in, I'll try and say that again in English, shall I? José María Bartomeu is the best president in Real Madrid's history.
Exactly. Yeah, well, probably the best presidential president in Real Madrid history. Stu, Could you see Barcelona recovering from this? If you lose Messi, and some people think maybe it's not a bad idea because you're going to free some money in your wage bill, for example. He's 33. Then it's maybe the right time to rebuild. What do you think?
I think it is the right time to rebuild, but you'd like to rebuild with Messi in the side and build a team around him. But that's if they can get the money in and they can get some better players in. It's going to be a very difficult time for Koeman. You know, he's done a decent job with the national team in Holland. And he's going to take over a team that are in disarray at the moment. There's got some ageing players. Some of the younger players haven't quite performed as well as they should do. He's got a really tough job on his hand. It's a strange time to take the job because he's always wanted the Barcelona job. It's not the time to take them to the next level at the moment. And he might only get one season as well.
That's a very good point. Sid, how do you see them recovering from this? If you lose Messi now, for someone who's been so important, I mean, they're so dependent on him, far more than Cristiano was at Real Madrid, for example. How do they bounce back and how do they survive even?
Well, in a way, you don't ever recover from this, ever. And by that, I mean that, look, there is an argument that says in footballing terms, this may not be a bad time. In footballing terms, this could play out reasonably well, that, you know, you generate the money that you need. There are some very good players in that squad. There are weaknesses in that squad, without doubt. There's some very good players in that squad who perhaps... taken out of Messi's shadow, can perform far better. You can change some of the culture at the club. You can shift some of the power, if you like, kind of the pockets of power there, which have been problematic for the club. And obviously, it is worth mentioning this. And I say this as someone who thinks that Messi is the best player I've ever seen and probably the best player I ever will see. But of course, some of Barcelona's failures, you have to look at them in the context of him as well. And he has to take responsibility for some of those as well as their successes. And so I think there is a scenario in which in footballing terms, in terms of how things go next year, the year after and so on, in which Barcelona could find a way through this. But the reason I say they never recover from this is because in a way that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they sort this out. I mean, of course it matters because that's what a football club's there for. But it doesn't matter in that this moment will never go away. This will always be that historic moment in which the best player who ever played for them and possibly ever played for anyone was forced to the door, that things got so bad that Lionel Messi, a guy who turned up at Barcelona at the age of 12, who's been there for 20 years, who made his house there, who always said he was going to retire there, who said he wanted to be a one-club man, and that club was going to be Barcelona, who was there at their everything. And, you know, you drew the comparison with Ronaldo, but in terms of symbolism, Messi is far bigger than Ronaldo. You know, Ronaldo's now at his fourth club. Messi was a one-club man, and somehow Barcelona managed to find themselves in a position in which things were done so badly that even Messi walked away.
Stu, if we go back to Koeman, he had a meeting with Messi. Mm. He met Messi last week. And there were reports yesterday, Emile Rousseau, for example, who is Victor Font, who Sid mentioned in the Victor Font camp, was saying, well, Koeman saw Messi and didn't really make him feel special. Do you think, not that Koeman is to blame for this, but as a new head coach coming in and seeing the best player of your club and the best player in history, that Koeman maybe should have been a bit more reassuring towards Messi? Maybe Messi had made his mind up anyway, but for that kind of feeling that Messi would have had with his new coach.
But you never quite know what Koeman would want. Because sometimes when you're a chief coach, a head coach, when you come in, you don't want a player that's going to be too demanding. The player that runs the dressing room, a player that, even though he's the best player in the world, could have too much influence on
other
things.
Yeah, even if it's Messi.
Even if it's Messi. And Ronald Koeman might think this is problematic because Messi doesn't seem as though he's very happy, or he certainly isn't very happy. And he could have to take on a player that's going to influence other players. So he might be quite pleased that Messi is going, and he's going to get might get more money to spend on a new squad, and then he can get the team into a shape that he wants them to play in. That could be the only thing why Koeman probably wasn't quite as endearing as he could have been to Messi, because, you know, he's still the best player in the world. You still want him. If you're a normal man, you'd still want him in your
club.
Surely,
yeah.
But Ronald Koeman may just want, as a head coach, come in, I want to do it my way.
Sid, what do you make of this, when what people have been saying, that the vibe between them two wasn't great, and would you blame a little bit Koeman for maybe not trying to make the situation better and maybe convince Messi to stay?
Look, I mean, it's perfectly plausible that you can look at it and think maybe Koeman could have handled it slightly differently, although bear in mind that in part his remit was to come in and do this kind of thing. His remit was to come in and pull power back from the dressing room towards the manager's office to try and impose a new culture on the club. And there's a very clear sense that they do need a new culture, that they do need to change training regimes, they do need to change attitudes towards that. And so in that sense, he probably needed to put down a mark. He couldn't turn up like coaches always do and basically say, well, whatever Messi wants is what Messi gets. Yeah. At the same time, even if you can then look at that and say, well, maybe he needed to be a bit more sensitive, even if, you know, he was partly bought in to not be sensitive, you certainly can't lay the blame at his door for something that's been building for so long. You know, this is, he comes into a context in which Messi is already fairly convinced that he wants to go. He comes into a context in which Messi has already looked at the mechanics of a potential move. And so it's not just a case of being, I'm a bit annoyed, let's see what happens. It's, no, I'm a bit annoyed, we've looked into how we could maybe move this on, how we could maybe handle this. And also, as Stuart says, you know, you look at it from Koeman's point of view, he will want his own identity on the team. He will want that control. He will know that for as long as Messi is there, some of those habits and cultures from before will continue. And if he's going to break them, he may need to kind of break, if you like, the head of that, break the whole point of that. And the other thing is, and I wonder what you think about this, Stu, that there's a bit of me that thinks, is it better for a manager to come in after Messi's gone, if only because at that point, no one blames you? Imagine they don't succeed next year. Everyone will say, well, of course, poor old Koeman turned up having lost Leo Messi.
That's a good point. That's exactly what I was trying to say. You know, if he comes in and he has to do the things the Messi way, and he'll always feel regretful that I should have let him go, or shouldn't have tried to get him to stay, because I couldn't impose the way I want to play on the team, because Messi's imposing his way. So I can't really do the things I want to do. So if I'm going to get the sack and I'm going to be criticised for not doing particularly well, I want to do it my way, not somebody else's way. And that's why I was talking about the head coach coming in and maybe wanting Messi to go.
I mean, Koeman had a very positive chat with Antoine Griezmann, for example. I was told yesterday about how he wants to build a team around him, and Messi wasn't mentioned in that chat. But you start wondering, like you two were saying, if already in Koeman's head, Messi's gone anyway, so okay, let's see what I can do.
It's much easier to talk to Antoine Griezmann about how I'm going to build a team around you than it is Messi, because Messi's already set in his ways and he's going to be so demanding of what he wants from Koeman. Griezmann's not going to be the same for Koeman.
No, that's for sure. Yeah, I mean, I still find it weird to imagine Barcelona without Messi, to even think about seeing Messi in another shirt, whether that's Man City shirt, Man United, PSG, I don't know, whoever else, Inter Miami. But just the thought of Messi wearing another shirt, Sid, just like right now, I don't think I'm ready for it.
No, I agree with you. I mean, look, on a very basic level, this is just football player leaves football club and it's no big deal and it happens all the time. But it absolutely isn't that. And it isn't that because of the significance of Messi, because of his identification with Barcelona, because of the fact that this is a club he went to as a small boy, that he's been there for 20 years, that he's broken all the records, that he's the best player. I mean, yeah, I don't know if you saw these, the goal scoring stats, the top four goal scorers in Barcelona's history. Number four, number three, number two, put them together, they've still scored fewer goals than Leo Messi. And it's just extraordinary. In terms of the symbolism, this is absolutely huge. It's terrible news for the Spanish league, it's terrible news for Barcelona, and I think it's terrible news that it's happening like this. And let me explain what I mean by that. In a way, we all knew this was coming, right? Leo Messi is 33. There wasn't long left. When he won the Ballon d'Or, when was it? In November last year, yeah, he said the end is coming. And we all sort of thought, oh God, don't say that. You know, it was kind of being confronted with our mortalities. And don't say that, no, let's put this off. But the end coming at Barcelona as a one club man, with that kind of final day that would have been a celebration and tearful and all the rest of it, but a collective kind of sense of community, that won't happen now, because it's not that Leo Messi is leaving. It's that he's leaving for another club. It's that he's leaving to go somewhere else. It's that this kind of perfect one club man arc is not going to happen. And I'm with you on this. It feels very strange. I must admit, and obviously I say this as someone who covers Spanish football, so I'm very, very disappointed. Very disappointed. But if I was an English football fan, even if it's not a fan of the team that he eventually goes to, I'd be incredibly excited at the prospect that this player might turn out to be unbelievably good in the Premier League. But here's the thing, by the way. What happens if he's not?
Ah, well, I guess we will find out.
All those Premier League lovers will say, see, the pace of the Premier League is just too much.
I know, all that BS people have
said. It's such a great league that, you know, players can't come from abroad and play well in it.
Yeah, there's no foreigners in the Premier League that play well who have a similar size as Messi and, you know, similar profile, like, I don't know, Mo Salah, for example, or others. Sid, thank you so much for all your great insight, all your help. Let's hope that for you, that maybe Messi stays somehow. I don't know, maybe a miracle can happen.
The thing is, I mean, genuinely, I think even if he was to stay now, this has still happened, if you see what I mean. Yeah. The sense of it being broken, it still happened. I just think there's no, and it's, I know it's a contradiction in terms, but I think there is no way back now, even if they find a way back.
Yes, I think you're right. Sid, thank you so much, man.
Thank you, Sid.
Pleasure. Cheerio.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Right, Stu, let's, now that we looked into what's happening in the club, maybe technicalities and everything, there's still obviously the issue of the release clause or not. Messi believes that he can go on a free or for a very small fee. Barcelona says, hang on a minute, you still have your release clause.
Yeah.
700 million euros who no one can pay. But anyway, let's assume that he's on a free.
Yeah.
Where do you think he would fit the best? And maybe your answer would be City and Guardiola, and that's no problem. But where do you think he will fit the most?
It will be City and Pep Guardiola, because first of all, it's so important that you know the manager, you have a good understanding with the manager, what you expect from him, what he expects from you. But I also think he'll fit into their team. You know, he could play in a role behind the main striker with two wide players that have got pace in behind, a centre forward, Aguero or Jesus, who will run in behind as well and be good with their backs to the goal, particularly Aguero in and around the box. And then Lionel Messi can play in the hole just in behind them. You know, Kevin De Bruyne can play in a central midfield position.
Yeah.
So there's that would work. PSG would also work, because you'd have a front three, and Neymar could, you could use the front three how you wanted to, because you could play Mbappe wide, you could play Neymar wider on the right, and Messi as the withdrawn 10, or you could put Mbappe up front.
Oh my God, you get me excited. Yeah. Come on, keep talking.
Can play any formation with that front three. Yeah. He couldn't play for somewhere like Liverpool, because Liverpool were all about running in behind, pace of closing down, the energy you have to close down. Now, at 33, I'm not sure you still want Lionel Messi. I'm not sure he's got it in him now to go and close people down and be pressing from the front. So he could play for Man City. He could play for PSG. He couldn't play for somebody like Liverpool, because Klopp wouldn't want him in his side.
And Inter Milan were another club mentioned. Mm-hmm. Since then, I think they distanced themselves a little bit from it, but they have a very strong identity in
Struggle.
That 3-5-2.
Yeah.
But do you think Messi has to go in a club with a strong identity, or that could work, or he could go somewhere and then you almost create an identity
depending
around
who
him?
The manager is. If he went to Inter Milan, Antonio Conte is not going to change his system. He plays with the same system most of the time. It's a back three with two wing backs. He plays with two front players that he wants to link up with each other. The only place that he could play for Antonio Conte was be as a centre forward alongside Lukaku. I'm not sure he'd want to do that. He'd want to come deeper to get the ball, because he's not as athletic as he once was. He can still run past people with the ball, but he's not going to be making run after run after run, which Antonio Conte would expect him to do. So I don't think that would be a match
made
in heaven.
What about Manchester United, who maybe don't have a strong identity to say, you know, technically exactly that, but I guess Solskjaer can accommodate him and maybe play with Bruno Fernandes.
I think he could accommodate him in a wider area, because remember, Bruno Fernandes has done brilliantly in the number 10 role. Anywhere that Messi goes, you've got to have people that are willing to run beyond him, because he's not that player anymore. He's the player. He's a creative player. He can run with the ball, but he's also a brilliant passer of the ball. When he drops that little bit deeper, gets himself on the half turn and plays balls over the top for runners. So the likes of Martial and the likes of Rashford could make runs off of him. But you're going to have to accommodate Rashford, Martial, Bruno Fernandes,
Pogba,
Mason Greenwood, who's doing very well at the moment. So I can't see Manchester United being the team that would take him at the moment. I think he's got to go to a team that at the very top of their game. Man City would be one. PSG would be another. Again, I don't think he'd suit Bayern Munich.
Chelsea. It's an interesting one because, yeah, again, they're building something special. But maybe he wants a team that he's ready to win now, that could win you the Champions League.
And I think he's got to go to a team that have got every chance of winning the title and are going to dominate most games. Manchester City, if you look at their percentage of possession, it's usually 67 to 75% every game. That's where Lionel Messi wants to play in the side that do that.
Yeah, yeah.
If he went to PSG in Liga, they probably have 65 to 75% possession in most of the games. At the moment, Manchester United don't do that.
Yeah.
They have to fight for possession. They have to try and win it back. And some of the other clubs, the other team would be Bayern Munich. But again, they win a lot of balls pressing high up the field. I'm not sure that Lionel Messi would fit into that.
No, that's right. I mean, we know that Pep Guardiola and Messi's entourage have already spoken. I think clearly Man City are the front runners now if he was to really leave and on a free as well. And I think PSG, from what I was told on Wednesday night, for example, was, we're looking into it. You would be crazy if you're a football club who have that kind of money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even if with financial fair play, you would have to be careful and make sure that you don't go too much beyond. But you would be crazy not to even think about it if you're PSG, if you're Chelsea, if you're all those top clubs. And PSG certainly are looking into it. If you think of a front three, as you said, of the M&M with Messi, Neymar and Mbappe, this is, you know,
but it's got a combination of everything. Right? It's got dribbling skills with Messi and Neymar. It's got the pace and the movement of Mbappe. You've got the passing skill to add with Messi as well, because he's one of the best passers of the ball in the world. That's a great front three. You'd have to have a very defensive midfield.
Well, we can sort that out.
Don't worry about
that later. Just very quickly, where do you think Messi will play in a month's time, or, you know, when the season underway after October?
I think he'll be playing for Pep Guardiola at Manchester City.
Okay, so this is all what could happen for Messi in Europe. What do you think about him going to MLS now? Because there's also an argument to be made that for his legacy, or for what he represents, to go to the US now and go to, I don't know, Inter Miami or LA Galaxy, which is the point that Mark Ogden was making on Wednesday in the little show that we did about Messi, could be great. I mean, he could really sort of like take soccer in the US to another level, for example. Or do you think, at 33, he still has too many good years ahead of him to go now, and he could go in 2 or 3 years' time?
I still think he's got 2 or 3 good years left in him where he can still be the best player in the world. Even, you know, if he's playing in the Premier League, he's playing in Bundesliga, or playing in Liga, he'd certainly be the best player in the world if he plays
in Liga.
All right. Yeah, I still think he can be a top-class player for another 2 years, you know, and take whatever team he goes to that next level. He'll still be scoring goals, he'll still be creating. So I think it'd be too early for him to do that. It would be great for MLS if they could get Messi at this stage. You know, as you said, football or soccer would go through the roof with the interest. Yeah. All they'd need was Ronaldo to go out there as well and play for another side, and then it would be the best league in the world. So, but I still think there's enough in the tank for him to be a top class player for another 2 years playing in Europe at one of the big clubs.
Okay, and now the only other place he could go is back home.
Mm.
And he's always said that he would go back to Newell's Old Boys, finish the career there where he all started really when he was a kid before he moved to Europe and to Barcelona at 11 and 12. I mean, this would be the most romantic, maybe the best story, really, if you think about it, of like, okay, I've had enough. I've had enough of Barcelona. I've had enough of European football. Let me come home and then I can finish there, win Copa Libertadores, you know, I don't know, win the Argentinian leagues, I don't know, anything. But that could be special as well.
It could be. But again, the quality of the Argentinian league still isn't the same quality as the leagues in Europe.
No, of course.
There's some good players and some outstanding players, some young players coming through, big crowds, all that sort of stuff. But he's still got to perform at the best level he possibly can do in Europe, and whether that be Manchester City, whether that be Manchester United, maybe PSG, as you'd love him to go to, Bayern Munich, whoever it may be, Inter Milan. I think he's still got to stay in Europe. It would be good for Argentina. It'd be good for you with Old Boys, all that sort of stuff, and romantic for him, but stay in Europe for another couple of years.
Yeah, I think it would be a real shame for UEFA and for the Champions League, for the European Confederation itself, to lose Messi right now. I think this would be
Are you
dramatic.
Excited by Messi going somewhere else, or are you disappointed he's going to be leaving Barcelona?
So I had a friend the other day who said, but isn't that small mentality from Messi to almost give up on Barcelona now when things are tough, when it's not working out for him? And I did think about it, and I was like, okay, maybe you could say, okay, why don't you stay and fight and take Barcelona back to the top and help them rebuild and help them creating the next generation.
You might
the
think
next
it's
team.
Now out of his hands, though. Because of the way the club's being run and the people they're bringing in. Maybe he doesn't even like the new manager.
Yeah, maybe as well, as we said with Koeman. But also, like, he's Messi. He's not like a normal guy. He's Messi, and he's had 5 years of the club letting him down, really. Because that's what happened. You know, not really signing the right players. Spending a lot of money, of course. Mm. They did on Coutinho and Griezmann and Dembele. But they're not right players for Barcelona. For the way the team was playing, for the DNA of that club, for that team. And I love Griezmann and I love Dembele. But it was pretty obvious from the beginning that it was never going to work. So,
and the managers that were
and the managers
in.
As well, yeah, Valverde. I mean, Quique Setién is maybe a bit different, but Valverde especially, even Luis Enrique to a certain extent, I guess, although he won them the Champions League and the league, so maybe different, but so maybe if your message is like, you know what, yeah, maybe I should stay and fight for this and take them back to the top, but I've had enough now.
The question was, though, are you excited that he would go somewhere else? You see Messi playing another shirt.
Yeah, so to go back to the question, I mean, I'd be very excited if that's Paris, of course.
Of course, yeah.
But yeah, I would be excited because I don't think he owes anything to Barcelona anymore. No. I don't think this is the way we should see him. Like, it would be weird to see him with a Man City shirt or a PSG shirt or a United shirt or whatever. It would be weird. It'd be weird to see him in the Premier League every weekend, you know, going away and play at West Brom. And then playing at home the Manchester Derby or anything like that. But I think that would make me excited, yeah.
And we always talk about, and wrongly, when they say, well, would a player of that quality be able to come over to the Premier League and play on a wet Tuesday night?
God,
you know, all that,
yeah.
All those quotes. It's not the case anymore, is
come
it?
On.
You know, the Premier League's an excellent league, but so are other leagues. And it's been proved in the Champions League this year that the Premier League clubs aren't always the best. You could do it anywhere, couldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, if people still... Today, in 2020, and I know 2020 has been strange, but still believe that Messi might struggle in the Premier League because of the physicality. They just need to give up and like focus on netball or just do another sport because...
But you could have said the same about David Silva or Kevin De Bruyne.
Or Mo Salah or Sadio Mane or, you know, like we could go and go and go again. And of course, Messi carries the ball more than anybody else and he will take on players more than anybody else, even if, as you said before, his game has changed a little bit and he could be more of a passer of the ball than anything else. But still, no one will stop him, right? If he comes to the Premier League?
Well, I think, was it last year when he destroyed Spurs?
Two years ago.
When he got in that position on the right-hand side, kept on coming in on his left foot.
At Wembley, that was
absolutely
beautiful.
Destroyed Spurs with his quality.
Oh, it would just be... I think it would be fantastic for the Premier League if Messi comes over. It would be just incredible. You could just imagine already the most powerful league in the world would be even more strong.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
It's time for the usual quick hits.
Well, let's go.
Liverpool play Arsenal in the Community Shield on Saturday in an empty Wembley. Robert, do you think this is a glorified friendly or actually there's some sort of importance to it?
I don't think there's an importance in actually winning it. You can't say, well, you've won the Community Shield.
Although Mourinho and Pep.
Well, some people do. But I think it's an important game. And I'll give you an example. Last season, Manchester City against Liverpool. In the first 20 minutes, Manchester City played really well, looked as though they were going to completely dominate. And suddenly, when Liverpool got into their rhythm and they started to press and they started to play balls over the top, they showed, I would say, an urgency. They showed a style of play that caused Man City problems. Yeah. And I came away from that game thinking, I think Liverpool are going to win the title this year, because I saw something in that game that made me think that they were going to be better than Manchester City.
I see what you mean.
And there was a thought process about them. You know, yes, we've just won the Champions League. Now we've outplayed Man City. Yes, we lost on penalties, but we outplayed them. And I'll go back a couple more years when Mourinho had never lost to Arsene Wenger.
Yeah.
You remember that? And then the Community Shield, Arsenal beat Chelsea, who had come back a couple of weeks late from pre-season training, and Mourinho was sacked halfway through the season because the team never got going after that Community Shield loss, and Arsenal did quite well. So I think it's an important game, and it just sets down a marker, not about winning, about how you perform in that game.
The only issue I have this year with it is that usually you play on a Saturday or Sunday, and then the league starts 5 days later, six or seven days later. This time we've got the international break coming in straight after. So all the national teams' head coaches now are announcing their squads and this player will go. So Liverpool and Arteta and Klopp will have their teams.
Yeah.
As you said, I think it's important. You're going to see Saliba, for example, for Arsenal against Liverpool, and that's already a big test for him, and this is going to be great. And then they're going to lose three quarter of their squad or half of their squad to go on international duty and then come back and play straight into the Premier League, which I think is a bit strange.
It's strange, but it could say that this is their last really good match. So they've got to put out their best teams. They've got to play to the best of their ability. We want to see, in terms of Arsenal, we want to see new players coming into the side. How's Willian going to fit into the side? Tell you that. How's the two centre-halves, how are they going to fit into the side? So it should be, I think, a very good game.
I agree.
Now, it was an all-French semi-final in the Women's Champions League, and Lyon were once again too strong for PSG, Jules.
Yes, you're right. I didn't think it was a fantastic game. I thought there were some good moments in it. And Lyon looks really strong. They scored a goal on the set piece, Wendy Renard, who's like 1.87 meters. So in the air, it's hard to compete with her anyway. She's a bit the Sergio Ramos of women's football because she scores so many goals, a bit like Sergio Ramos because she's so good in the air. And Lyon, I think in the end...
Does she get sent off as much?
She didn't. No. She doesn't, and she didn't in the game. Although there was two red cards, one for each team, Nikita Paris, the English striker for Lyon, and then just before that, Guillaume for PSG. I think PSG, it's a similar feeling of they really want to knock off Lyon from their perch, to take Sir Alex's expression. But they're just coming up short every time because Lyon is so good. And I think it's not so much the talent, because it's probably even, but it's that confidence of Lyon. They know they're going to win eventually. This is their fifth Champions League final in a row. They've won the last four. They play Wolfsburg on Sunday night.
They've got winning mentality.
Yeah, and I think they're going to win this one again. After fears that he would leave Inter Milan, and we talked a bit about it on Monday's show, Robbo, Antonio Conte has decided to actually stay in Italy. Do you think that he's putting now more pressure on himself to win Serie A next season?
Absolutely. If you go to the board and say, I'm not happy with certain things, or the president say, I'm not happy with certain things, I wasn't happy with the transfer policy, I'm not happy with this, that and the other, and the president says, OK, you can have all those things, and you've got full control over who comes in and who goes out, and we pay you a lot of money, we're going to keep you to your two-year contract. He's putting himself under massive pressure, because if it all starts to go wrong early on in the season, the president says to him, we gave you all these things and you haven't delivered. Because the only way that Conte has success next year is if they win Serie A. That's the only thing that will be successful in terms of Inter's, certainly in the president's eyes, Inter. They have to win the title, and he's put himself under a great deal of pressure. He has to win that or he'll probably be out.
Do you think that his strategy, maybe his plan, and we know at times it can be a bit Machiavellic, was, okay, I'm going to give that interview after the Europa League final where I hint the fact that I can leave. Then the club sort of panics a little bit and say yes to everything he asks, and then he's coming back in a much stronger position, or be under pressure?
He's in a stronger position. I think the Christian Eriksen one was one that he didn't want to happen, because Christian Eriksen, when he was signed, I thought he doesn't fit into anywhere where Antonio Conte lays out his team, his formation. So why has he got him? So now we find out that he didn't really want him. So that won't happen again, I shouldn't think. And he will try and get the players in that he wants.
Yeah.
The 2019-2020 Champions League may just be over, but the 2021 campaign has already started, and we saw some big upsets, Jules.
Yes, Robert, we had qualifiers already, the second round, and Celtic have been knocked out by Ferencváros from Hungary in Glasgow as well, 2-1. They're single leg. You know, usually they're home and away.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, because of the pandemic, he's single leg. Celtic out already. And I think it's a disgrace for them to be knocked out by Ferencváros so early in the season, even if it's on Otton Edouard was in there.
Hungarian football wasn't what it was many, many years ago. It's a poor league.
It's crazy. Besiktas also being knocked out by PAOK. And then in the third round, you've got the bigger boys like Dinamo Kiev and Benfica who are coming in. But already a few interesting results that we've seen in the Champions League. Dean Henderson has signed a new deal at United, Robbo, 5-year deal. If you were Manchester United manager now, which might happen one day, we don't know, would you play De Gea or would you play Henderson?
I'm still a De Gea fan. I know he's had...
Even despite all the mistakes?
Despite the mistakes. If he's at the club, I think you play him because he has proved on many, many occasions to be their number one goalkeeper. He's been a great goalkeeper. At one point, I think he was probably the world's best goalkeeper. He's gone off the boil slightly. If I was the Manchester United manager, I might be thinking of selling him because if he makes two or three mistakes this season, everybody's onto it. You know, there's that. If you don't make any mistakes for several years and you make two, people forget about them. But because he's made mistakes over the last couple of years, as soon as he makes one next season, he might play brilliantly for three or four games. As soon as he makes one mistake, the press are going to be onto him again. Why aren't you playing somebody else in goal? If he's at the club, I would play him. But if I was Solskjaer, I'd be looking to get rid of him at some point.
And then start and then Henderson, even if he's young and only had one season in the Premier League with Sheffield United, it would be great.
Yeah, and then start Dean Henderson in goal.
Interesting.
Yeah, if De Gea's there, I think I would play him because I still think he's a top-class goalkeeper. But if he makes a couple of mistakes, if I was Solskjaer, I'd be looking now to get rid of him because I think he's past his best.
Yeah.
Weston McKennie is heavily linked with a move to Juventus, Jules. Does it make sense to you?
I think so, Robbo. There might be a lot of Juventus fans who never watched him play with Schalke or in the Bundesliga or with the US national team or who don't really know what he's about. But I think Antonio Conte and Andrea Pirlo. Pirlo was saying, like, listen, I want a new midfield and I want that midfield to press high, to recover the ball really high, to have that sort of intensity, that work rate in midfield. And I think McKennie is perfect for that. That's exactly what he is. He's like a better version, younger version of Matuidi, if you want. Mm. I think he's got ability on the ball, but that he can improve that. He needs to improve that. But in terms of how much he will chase the ball, work, press, etc., that's perfect. It's exactly what Juve wants. He's not too expensive either, and they don't have much money, so that could work. And then it's down to him to step up a level, to show that he can play at that
level. Can he get the creativity needed to match his athleticism and his work rate?
So that's the question, and maybe he will improve with the ball. I think he's really hardworking, but I think you still need someone next to him who will be able to have that sort of creativity.
This is a big issue I have. There's too many midfield players that are one thing or the other.
True.
They need to have both. If you're a midfield player, you need to have both. Hopefully he's got both of those things.
But not many people can, that's the thing. Be both, you know, good on the ball and attacking.
But midfield players used to be.
Yeah,
that was you made midfield players and midfield players because they could do both sides of the job. They had to be good defensively and they had to be good on the ball. Now we see holding midfield players that are either an unusual genio who can't defend it keeps the team ticking over, or you get defensive midfield players that are just good at blocking off spaces
really
and getting tackles in, but then can't play with the ball. And you get attacking players that can't defend. That's why Eriksen can't find a spot in the team for Antonio Conte, because he's good on the ball but can't defend.
But it'd be very interesting to see if McKennie does happen. And by the way, it's his birthday, I think, on Friday. So, you know, happy birthday to him. If he can make it at Juventus. Robbo is going from bad to worse for Harry Maguire. He was found guilty of aggravated assault and received a suspended 21-month sentence, which he decided to appeal, and the appeal had been granted, and there will be another trial. And then he was dropped from the England squad by Gareth Southgate. Was that the right decision from Southgate? And by the way, was it right to include him?
That's what I was going to say, because Gareth Southgate said all the right things. I've been speaking to the club, I've been speaking to the player, and he's got another side to the story, so I've picked him for the squad, and you know he's a big part of our team. So he said what seemed to be all the right things, but I would have said right from the start, while he was going to court to try and defend himself or get other people to defend himself, I'm not sure he should have been in the squad in the first place, because to then take him out of the squad makes it difficult.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's... And also, if he's in the squad, all the talk, all that week from the press, all the pressure will be on the player, all the pressure will be on Southgate, talking about Harry Maguire and what did he do and how are you going to cope with this and what the player's saying to Harry Maguire. Is everybody behind him? It'd have been best if he'd have just left him out and said, for the benefit of everybody else, the club and Harry Maguire, you know, we don't believe the accusations that have been against him. But at the moment, it's best just to leave him out the squad to let him concentrate on what he's got to concentrate on.
Because even mentally for Maguire, do you think he would be ready to play a international game like a Nations League game?
No, absolutely not. If you're worried about, you know, you might go to prison, you might be sentenced, might all that, you know, your court case is coming up. Nobody's going to be in the right frame of mind to play a football game. Some people say that it's the best time to play football. It takes your mind off of those sort of things. But I'm not sure that's the right thing. You know, everybody would be looking at him. Every mistake he made, that's because he's worried about his court case. And if he, you know, so it's a very difficult thing. If he makes a foul, he's an aggressive person. So I think it would have been better just to leave him out of the squad in the first place.
And Manchester United, by the way, I've come out, or at least I've told people that for now he's keeping his captaincy. They're going to wait for what the appeal comes up. Yeah. And it's a bit what we were saying on Monday. Let's see the outcome of it.
And they're absolutely right as well, because it's a little bit further down the line. They've got a bit more time to see what happens with the appeal. And if he gets away with it, then he's done nothing wrong. Yeah. So he should keep the captaincy. If he... Obviously, then the appeal doesn't go his way, then they've got every right to drop him from the captaincy. Yeah. After more than 5 months in a jail in Paraguay, one of your old players, Ronaldinho, is going to be a free man again. I bet you're pleased about that, aren't you?
I am. I mean, what an incredible story, Robbo. If you remember, he was going to Paraguay for some sort of charity event, game, whatever. And because of all the tax issues that he had in Brazil, he couldn't travel. So basically, he created or bought a fake Paraguayan passport. Just imagine. I mean, imagine Ronaldinho.
As if he wouldn't recognise him.
I know. Going into the customs in Paraguay with a Paraguayan passport and say, like, I know you and you're not from Paraguay. You used to play for Brazil. I mean, crazy stuff. Then obviously went to jail, then was under house arrest in Paraguay in a hotel, didn't move for 6 months. And finally he would be allowed back to Brazil. It was just an incredible story. And it's just thing like...
Is it mismanagement of the people in charge of him?
As well, the funny thing and the irony, Robbo, is that there's some sort of agreement between Brazil and Paraguay. You don't even need a passport to travel from Brazil. So he could just have gone like this and no problem. I don't think anything would have happened. So just sometimes players in retirement, you know, post-career, do some really silly stuff, right?
Boredom, haven't got that inspiration anymore. They do strange things because he was, let's face it, he was a magnificent player, wasn't he? You know, whether it was at Milan, whether it was at PSG, wherever he
Barcelona,
played,
Barcelona.
Of course, particularly at Barcelona, that was where he was probably at his best. He was a magnificent player, best in the world at one particular point.
Yeah, just incredible. Everton are trying to sign James Rodriguez from Real Madrid. But you heard that right, James Rodriguez. Yeah. Is it really what they need first, or does it sound to you like a bad idea?
I saw Everton towards the end of the season, and they look a particularly poor side when I saw them. I couldn't see what Ancelotti was actually trying to do with the side. They've got a lot of good players, a lot of average players. They haven't got outstanding players. Maybe James Rodriguez can give them that little bit of quality, but they're a side that need to be better all around the field. He could be a luxury player for them. If they're not getting much of the ball, if they're being outplayed, is James Rodriguez the sort of player that's going to win the ball back for you and dig in and be a good team player?
Someone in midfield that, you know, they had a bid for Doucouré that was rejected. Yeah. I think they're going to come back for him as well. But James is all about the creativity. Yeah. If you play 4-4-2 like Ancelotti did with Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin up front, James can't really play out wide.
No, he doesn't want to play out wide. He want to come in field and play in a number 10 role. It doesn't seem like a good idea to me. I think if you are going to play with two up front, the midfield players have to be, I think we talked about it before, good at both things. They have to be good defensively. They have to be good at winning the ball back. And then when they get the ball, they have to make good decisions. They need to be good passers of the ball and have to get up and down the field. James Rodriguez, whenever I've seen him, is more of a luxury player, I would say.
However, if you get the James from the 2014 World Cup, that kind of level James, then that's great for the Premier League.
It would be, because the 2014 World Cup, he was magnificent.
It was amazing,
But again, playing in a sort of slightly advanced position rather than a midfield player, and rather than a front player, he was somewhere in between. I'm not sure Ancelotti wants to play with somebody.
You need to build your team around. He's one of those kind of players. Yeah. Like, you need to build a team around him and sort of give him a free role, and then put the players around him.
Yeah. Now, Matt Doherty is close to joining Tottenham from Wolves. Mourinho wanted a right back, and he's got one of the best in the Premier League last season, would you say?
I would say so, although he played in a different formation.
Different position, right wing back, yeah.
Wing back, certainly than a right back, but I can't see why he could not adapt and go to a back four. Certainly going forward, he's one of the best. I think the quality of his crossing, his intelligence in the box and taking that space going forward is great. Defensively, of course, it's going to be harder for him in the back four than in the back five. But for, £15 million, something like that, I think that would be a great
sign. But having watched a little bit of Spurs towards the end of last season, the formation that Mourinho was trying to play with, yes, it was a back four, but the fullbacks were very rarely in the defensive positions.
Yeah, because
he had Winks and Sissoko, the holding midfield players. As soon as they got the ball, the two fullbacks went high up the field, as Matt Doherty does for Wolves.
That's true.
But it was Winks and Sissoko came into sort of almost fullback position or semi-fullback positions to cover the fullbacks going forward.
Yeah.
So if he plays like that, Matt Doherty would be ideal. And somebody,
I think so too. And to replace him, it looks like Wolves are looking at Ainsley Maitland-Niles from Arsenal. Would you be disappointed if Arsenal let him go? Or you think that if he wants to move away after
From people I speak to at Arsenal, I think he's a decent player. I saw him play for the England youth sides. He's got loads of energy. He played brilliantly in the Cup final left wing back and in the semi-final. But he's not a consistent player. And I think when I speak to people at Arsenal, they're not quite sure that he's going to go to that next level. And if you're looking, one of the things that Arteta has to get at Arsenal now is consistency with performances and attitude and energy.
Yeah.
While he's got all the energy, I'm not sure he always makes the right decision. So I think it's a good move for him to go to Wolves.
Yeah, I agree with you, Robbo. Let's see if this one and the Doherty one and the James Rodriguez one, how those pan out. Thank you so much, Stu.
Yeah, it's always been a pleasure. I've enjoyed your company again.
Oh, me too, man. Yeah. Me too. That was great. Thank you for listening, people. We'll be back on Monday. Gab will still be away on holidays. Robbo, I think
away as well.
Yeah, you're away as well. So have a good rest. You deserve it. And then on Monday, we'll talk about the Community Shield. We'll have other guests. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. And we'll see you then.